Hello, everybody. Happy Friday. And today's devotional will be from Psalm 32. Again, that is Psalm 32, and I will read this passage for us. This is the Word of God. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. In this psalm, David is teaching us about confession of our sins, how it's actually detrimental to our souls to keep our sins to ourselves, and that God is abundant in mercy to those who confess to him. In the opening verses, we see David proclaiming, Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. I think the word deceit here in this context of the verse means hiding one's true self or keeping your sins to yourself. David is able to say these things because in the next two verses, David remembers what it was like when he himself was not in that place of blessedness, when he was hiding from the Lord. He says, for when I kept silent, meaning silent about his sins, silent about his true self, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. David says it is such an agonizing and undesirable thing to be silent and to be hidden from the truth about ourselves and our sin, especially when we are silent about it towards God. When I was reading and meditating over this section of this psalm, I couldn't help but remember Adam and Eve and their fall into sin. Moments after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the first reaction that they had was to sew fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. And this act was a physical representation of something deeper that was going on, and that was their spiritual hiding from God. When we live in this state of brokenness and sin and separation from God, this will be our natural tendency, to hide from the presence of the Lord. We begin to believe in this lie that it'll be easier and more comfortable for ourselves if we pretend that everything is fine, that it is well with our souls. We start telling ourselves that if we hold off confession of our brokenness just a little bit longer, other people around us won't be weirded out or burdened, and we'll eventually figure it out on our own. A number of years ago, early on when I was in college, there was a time when I was very angry, bitter, and jealous with a group of friends. There was this perpetual cycle of anger and bitterness because I knew that I shouldn't have been angry or bitter, and that made me even more angry and bitter. It got to a point where I began lying to myself that I wasn't angry and bitter, and I was in denial about the truth in my heart. I kept silent about these things and lived a life of deceit. Deceit towards those friends and others around me, and ultimately deceit towards God. Fortunately, I eventually responded to God's calling me to confession and repentance and reconciliation, which definitely wasn't the most comfortable process. But it was, without a doubt, infinitely better than continuing to live in darkness and silence. There is light and there is mercy when we come before the Lord with our confessions. Verse 5 says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. We must remember that God is an infinitely merciful God, and that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross truly is all atoning. There is nothing that we can confess that if God hears, then he will somehow change his mind about being gracious to us. Grace is always readily available to us. This brings us to the later section of this psalm, and in verses 8 and 9, David shows us what it actually means to confess our sins to the Lord. If I'm interpreting these verses correctly, it seems that David temporarily isn't speaking as himself, but is rather speaking prophetically to his readers, what he feels God is saying to him. With that in mind, verses 8 and 9 say this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Here David calls us to repent genuinely. He says that the Lord will instruct us and teach us the way we should go, but it is definitely a possibility that we will not understand or listen. That will be like a horse or a mule that is difficult to train and won't stay near. Verse 10 says, Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. And I believe this is a big part of what trusting in the Lord, what true confession means. To not only admit our fault, but also to hold tightly onto his instruction. I want to encourage all of us here today to be a people of genuine confession. Let's regularly go to the Lord and also other brothers and sisters in confession, not to be overwhelmed with shame, but to live life fully in joy and in the light, the way that God designed us to live. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God of unlimited grace. We have fallen short of your standard time and time again. But where we are weak, your grace is even greater. Lord, with this knowledge, I pray that we would regularly confess our sins. And not only confess our sins with our mouths, but to truly repent by clinging on to your ways. I pray that you allow us to live life to the full and experience joy that flows naturally from living in step with your Spirit. And in all of these things, Lord, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.